Chapter 10. I'm sorry? I asked, and my brow furrowed with confusion. The sorceress never failed to surprise me, but I was sure I'd misheard the beautiful blonde.
I'm coming with you,
she repeated, and it wasn't a question, but rather an announcement. I don't think that's a good idea.
Are you telling me I can't go?
Prana asked, and she lifted her chin slightly as she regarded me coolly. Kaas's violet eyes landed on mine, and the Valkyrie raised an eyebrow at me. The mission tomorrow could be very dangerous. I warned Prana as I ignored Kaas's glance.
I can handle myself,
the beautiful blonde sorceress said before she took another drink of mead.
I'm sure Prana can handle herself,
Kaas said with a nod.
She is incredibly powerful, after all. Thank you, Kaas.
Prana smiled at her fellow sorceress. Well, I know she is. I just don't want to draw any suspicion with Odin or Freya at the castle.
I already said there are no council meetings tomorrow. I have the day off, so I'd like to come with you. If I didn't know any better, I'd think you didn't want me to come along.
Well, no, it's not that. I shook my head. I just worry about you being out in the field with us. Things can get very dangerous very quickly.
I appreciate that. It's been a while since I've been on a mission like this, but I assure you, I remember a thing or two about being in battle.
The blonde sorceress turned to wink at me, and it seemed I'd lost the fight. Prana was bound and determined to come with us, and in all honesty, she was very powerful, and we could probably use her help. Well, as long as it didn't draw Odin's attention, I didn't see the harm in it. I was starting to think Kaas's comment about me accumulating women was right, but I just laughed to myself and took another drink of mead. Now the dragons all curled up next to Blah by the fire. Inga had her head on the little blue dragon's belly, while Ufe was curled up near his tail with Svas pressed up against him. They all seemed incredibly tired, and I couldn't blame them for being exhausted after the day we'd had. Not only had it been long because we'd been up before dawn, but it had also been emotionally draining. I knew all the dragons had been worried about the baby and his mother. We all had, actually, and that concern took a lot out of us. Luckily, it had all worked out, but still, even I was quite tired. The girls chatted while I finished my first pint of mead, and when I stood up and offered to get more, all of the girls requested a refill. I filled the cups up quickly, and then I made my way back to the fire with the freshly filled glasses. I took a large swig of the honey-sweetened ale and stretched my legs out to warm my feet by the flames. If we're going to go to the place where Ramir marked tomorrow, then we should leave early in the morning, I said when there was a pause in the girls' conversation.
Right. We should probably head to bed soon. If you want, you can sleep in the cottage,
Kaas told Prana.
The rest of us will probably sleep out here by the fire. Very used to sleeping outside. I've slept outside many a time before as well,
Prana said with a smile.
I'd be glad to sleep out here with you all, too, if you'll have me. Oh, of course,
Kaas said, and her eyes went wide as she shook her head.
I didn't mean anything by it. I just, we've seen your chambers at the castle. Yes, they're quite nice, but I do sometimes miss the simpler things in life. When I was training, my father often took me to the woods, and we would camp out for days. Oh, I bet that was fun,
Asta said with a smile.
My father was never really big on camping,
Kaas shrugged.
I can understand why. Ramir's not one to be without his big comfy couch, it seems.
That's true. He prefers to be seated by the fire with a good book in his lap over anything else. I used to camp out all the time when I was on my own, though I'm not sure it was considered camping since I lived in the woods. It must have been very difficult for you.
Prana frowned.
It was all right,
Asta smiled and shrugged.
I learned a lot about different plants.
It's true. Asta knows all about herbs, and she makes the best tea.
Thank you, Rath.
The white-haired elf girl blushed and looked down.
Oh, I love a good cup of tea. I'd love to try some one day. Oh, of course,
Asta perked up, and a huge grin spread across her face.
I'd love to make you tea. I'll get up early tomorrow and make some for everyone. Oh, you don't have to do that. I'm sure you like to sleep in. Oh, not really. We're always up early, aren't we, Wrath?
Yes, most days.
Well, thank you.
Brayna nodded.
I look forward to it.
I hated to think about Asta living out in the woods alone, like she had been before we'd met. But it was a part of her past that made her who she was, and I appreciated her for it. She was a very strong and determined woman, which was part of the reason she'd made it as long as she had out on her own. I'd never really inquired as to when her parents died, but from the sounds of it, she was without them for a long time before she met us. It was no wonder she joined our group so quickly when we found her, especially given her background with the Elf King and him throwing her in his dungeon for stealing some bread. With us, Asta knew she'd never go hungry, and I would always protect her, no matter the cost. Asta even soul-bonded with me incredibly quickly, and I was truly very lucky to have her, Cass, and Ira in my life. Ira hadn't soul-bonded with me yet, but I hoped that would come soon, and I would wait as long as necessary for her to decide that was what she wanted. Maybe one day Prayna would decide that as well, but right then I couldn't allow the thought to go any further. There was too much else going on, and the beautiful sorceress was still far out of my league, even though she was coming with us on our mission tomorrow. I slowly sipped my second pint of mead, and then I went into the house and gathered up some blankets and pillows for us all. I set up one large bed near the fire for Cass, Asta, Ira, and me, and I set up another one on the other side of the fire pit for Prayna. I doubted the sorceress wanted to sleep in the same bed with us. Though I couldn't say I'd mind.
Thank you, Wrath.
Prayna told me as Cass, Asta, and Ira made their way to our bed.
I appreciate you making me my own bed, though I wouldn't have minded sleeping with you all. It looks quite cozy over there.
Prayna flashed her pearly white teeth at me, and I smiled at the beautiful sorceress, but I wasn't sure what to say. The thought of her sleeping close to me was enough to make my heart pound, and my palms grew sweaty with nervousness. The girls all settled into bed, and Blah walked over to where Prayna laid on her blankets and curled up next to her.
Oh, are you joining me this evening?
Prayna laughed and stroked down Blah's back. The little blue dragon rolled over so Prayna could scratch his belly, and she happily obliged. I just shook my head and crawled into bed with the girls, since I knew they were waiting for me to join them before they actually fell asleep. Once I was in the blankets with the girls around me, I let out a deep breath and looked up at the sky. It felt good to be back home, even if I wasn't sure how long we'd be here. Most of the time I stayed up to keep watch while the girls slept, but here I didn't feel the need to do that tonight. We were home, and I knew we were safe. I heard a small huff, and I turned to see Prayna's light brown eyes staring at me from across the fire. When my eyes caught hers, she quickly looked down, and I saw her cheeks flush. I smiled to myself, and then turned back toward the sky. It seemed that the golden-haired sorceress was a little bit jealous, and the thought of that nearly made me laugh out loud. Oh, Prayna was absolutely stunning, and she could have absolutely anybody she wanted. She could even have me, if she chose to. I knew it wasn't black and white, but still, I couldn't imagine her needing to be jealous ever. She was more than capable of obtaining any man she wanted, myself included. There had to be more holding her back than just her position at the castle. She was here with us tonight, after all, and I knew she wouldn't be if she felt there was a chance Odin would find out about our mission. I supposed it could be her position with the Council that held her back from being with me. We had to work together, and it would probably be incredibly awkward between her and the other Council members if she and I were sleeping together. I wasn't sure they would approve of such a relationship, and I most definitely didn't want to cause Prayna any issues. Still, I had plenty to worry about, without concerning myself as to whether or not Prayna and I would eventually get together. I'd leave that up to her for the moment. I was happy with the woman in my life, and I was just grateful Prayna was on my side and an ally when it came to dismantling the dragon trade. I had to admit, though, it did feel good to see her a little bit jealous. The next morning I woke up just as the sun made its first appearance over the hill, and I realized I'd slept in longer than I'd intended to. It was still early, and as much as I wanted to get a move on for the day, I was ravenous, and we had all day to get to Alfheim, so I figured we could spend a few minutes eating breakfast. The day before, we hadn't eaten as much as we should have, and it had been a long, drawn-out day, with plenty of action to steal away our energy, not to mention the ale we drank before bed. The girls were still sleeping, so I got up and made my way over to the garden. I picked us out some fresh peaches and apples, along with some vegetables, and then I put some rice on the stove to cook, grabbed my fishing net, and headed down to the stream to catch us some breakfast. Once I got to the clearing where the stream was, I spotted Asta by a tree, near the water. I thought she'd been sleeping with the other girls, but I guess I hadn't paid as close of attention as to who was still in bed with me as I thought I had. I must have just seen Cass and Ira, and assumed Asta was there as well. "Asta," I said, as I walked up to the white-haired elf girl.
"Oh, Hrath!"
She gasped as she spun round and put her hand up to her chest.
"I didn't hear you coming."
"Well, it's okay," I told her, but I pursed my lips all the same. "It's just me this time. But you should always be prepared. Why didn't you wake me up to come with you?"
"You were sleeping so peacefully. I didn't want to disturb you."
"It's okay." I smiled and kissed the top of her head. "I'd rather you wake me next time, please. I don't like you being out here alone."
"You're right."
She nodded.
"I'll wake you next time."
"What are you doing out here so early, anyway?"
"I'm gathering herbs for tea,"
she said. She held up a small bunch of foliage that, even in its unbrewed state, smelled delicious. "Oh, I see. Oh, yes, I seem to recall talking about that last night."
"Prana requested tea,"
Asta said with a smile.
"And I figured we could all use a nice cup after the day we had yesterday."
"Right. Yeah, some tea sounds lovely. I was just going to catch us some fish for breakfast."
"Oh, well, I'm done getting herbs. I can help you if you'd like."
"I don't think I'll need too much help, but you can stay here with me if you want to."
"That sounds nice."
Asta sighed, and she sat down next to the stream while I got the fishing net ready. Suddenly, I heard a rustle in the bushes behind us, and I spun round to see Blar coming through the trees. Oh, the little dragon stopped and yawned before he looked at me and cocked his head to the side. "Yes, I'm catching us some fish for breakfast." Blar licked his lips, and then he walked over to where Asta was seated, crawled into her lap, and promptly fell back asleep.
"I'm not sure why he even bothered to get up in the first place if all he was going to do was go back to bed."
"Oh, I'm pretty sure he just wanted to make sure we were getting breakfast ready."
"Yeah, that does sound like him."
I took off my tunic and rolled up my pant legs before I stepped into the water with my net at the ready. The stream was cool on my legs, and I breathed in the fresh morning air as I relished in the feel of the crisp mountain water on my skin. I could see the small fish swimming around my feet. They were headed downstream toward the ocean, but there were plenty of them. Most of them were too small, though, so I waited until I spotted some larger ones, and then I carefully placed my net in the water and guided it toward them at just the right moment. I swooped the net forward and pulled it out of the water, along with three large fish inside of it.
"Whoa, that was fast."
"Yes, it's just a matter of timing," I told her with a wink.
"Can I try?"
she asked with a wide grin. "Yeah, of course." Asta carefully picked up Blar from her lap and set him in the grass next to her. Oh, the small reptile huffed a little bit and opened one eye to glare at her, but then he nestled further down into the grass and went back to sleep. Asta's tunic was short enough that she didn't need to worry about rolling it up, so she simply glided into the water with a small splashing sound. There, in the morning light, she looked absolutely stunning. Her white hair reflected the orange glow of the sun above us, and her yellow eyes were a vision of beauty against the green of all the trees and grass in the forest. She looked like she belonged in the water, with her long, beautiful hair that reminded me of the blinding white glare the sun cast on the ocean.
"Okay, what do I do?"
Here, I said, and I took the fish out of the net, quickly severed their spinal cords with my dagger, and set them next to Blar on the shore. The little blue dragon sniffed the air before his eyes opened, and he licked his lips when he spotted the fish a few feet away from him. Don't even think about it. I chastised, and he rolled his eyes and turned away from me.
He's so funny.
He's a brat, is what he is, I teased, and I turned back to the elf girl and handed her the net. All right, so just lower it into the water and try and guide it in front of the fish before they come by.
That sounds easy enough.
Asta chirped as she took the net. I could see the focus on her face as she lowered the device into the water and carefully moved it around the small stream. I was surprised she hadn't done much fishing when she lived in the woods alone, but it seemed she'd survived mostly on foliage rather than meat. She wasn't exactly a hunter. She was more of an herbalist, which was fine, but it also made me think she hadn't been getting nearly enough protein when she was on her own. Suddenly, Asta let out a little squeal as she lifted the net up. Inside were two very small fish, and she turned around to show me her catch with a huge smile on her face. Very good. Now, these are a bit small to cook, though, and there will be a lot of bones. Try again, and this time wait for the larger fish.
Right.
Asta nodded and put the net back in the water to release the fish she caught. Then she spun the net round and moved it carefully through the water as she waited for larger fish to show up. That was one thing I always liked about Asta. She wasn't afraid to take any sort of criticism. She was an incredibly kind and sensitive soul, but she didn't get upset when I told her something wasn't quite right. She always understood my words were only intended to help her, and not to diminish her in any way. Her fishing had been a good effort, especially for a first try, and I was sure she'd have no problem catching a couple of larger fish once they came along. While Asta worked the net, I sat on the bank and let my feet soak in the water. The small fish swam by and occasionally nibbled at my toes, which was oddly relaxing. The sun was growing higher in the sky, but it was still early out, and it was still summertime, so the days were particularly long at the moment, which meant we'd have plenty of daylight to look around the area of Alfheim marked on the map. I pursed my lips as I thought about what Asta had said the day before. She noted where we were headed was the wealthy part of Alfheim, and I thought about what a stark contrast that must be from the part we'd been in last. The dealer we'd taken out the other day had been in the filthiest, most run-down area of a realm I'd ever seen. I'd gone to battle in several realms, too, and I'd never seen one in such poor shape as that section of Alfheim. Then again, the man in charge didn't exactly fit the area. Before we'd killed him, he'd had long, curly orange hair, a high-pitched effeminate voice, and incredibly fancy clothes that looked out of place compared to the run-down barn he kept his dragons in. My nose wrinkled when I thought about the asshole, and I was glad he was dead. He'd been a powerful sorcerer, but not powerful enough to combat Blar and me. That son of a bitch couldn't hurt anybody else from his position in Helheim, and I hoped the sorry son of a bitch had gotten dropped directly into Ovis' cage so the huge dragon could give him the welcoming he deserved.
Rath, I got...
Asta lifted the net out of the water, but the fish inside was massive, and he flopped around with such ferocity he almost knocked the elf girl over. Water splashed as I rushed over to Asta and grabbed hold of the net, and I got there just in time to catch the elf girl against my chest as she nearly fell into the water. The white-haired elf girl breathed, and she looked up at me and smiled.
Thank you, Rath.
Yes, any time. I grinned. Asta bit her lip, and she lifted up onto her tiptoes so she could plant her soft, full lips against mine. I closed my eyes and grabbed onto her waist as she pressed her body against me. I could sense her desire, and it mirrored my own. I slid my tongue out to trace along her bottom lip, but then the huge fish in the net jolted forward, and we were both knocked off balance. Asta fell against me again with a laugh, and I quickly scooped up the elf girl and carried her to the shore.
I did good, right?
She asked with a huge smile as I pulled the monstrous fish from the net and used my dagger to sever its spinal cord. Yes, you did great. This will feed all of us for sure.
Oh, good.
Asta said, and she stood up and grabbed her bundle of herbs and the other three fish I'd caught.
We should get breakfast going.
Yes, you're right. I'll I also nearly forgot I put some rice on the fire. We should get back before it burns.
You probably weren't counting on me being out here distracting you.
I wasn't, I smacked. But I'm glad you were. I followed Asta's perfect tips as they swayed back toward home, and Blah trudged along behind us. And judging by his dragging feet, he was clearly still exhausted. The little dragon had done a lot yesterday, so I would try my best to take it easy on him today. But I was also incredibly proud of him, and his efforts the day before. He'd made a lot of portals, and some of them had been quite large. His teleportation abilities were getting more powerful, and I was excited to see what he'd be able to do once he fully mastered his ability. Before Asta and I even broke through the trees, I could hear the sounds of the girls talking and laughing. Once we arrived back in the courtyard, I saw Ira, Cass, and Prana were all gathered round the fire, and the beds were no longer in sight. Someone had removed the rice from the flames, and the faint scent of it still hung in the air.
Oh, there you two are,
Prana said, and she turned to us with a large smile.
We were getting concerned. Well, Prana was getting concerned.
Oh, we were fishing for breakfast, I said as I held up Asta's huge catch.
Oh, my.
Prana gasped, and her light brown eyes went wide as she took in the size of the large water-dwelling creature.
That's quite the catch, Rath. You must fish often.
Oh, it wasn't me. I laughed and gestured to Asta.
Asta, you caught that thing. I did,
the elf girl said, and she lifted her chin up and smiled proudly.
It looks like it could have pulled you in and swam off with you for breakfast. Oh, no.
Asta shook her head.
It did try to get away, though. Rath had to help me. That's still quite impressive. I also got herbs to make tea.
The elf girl held up a bundle of foliage with a smile.
That's wonderful,
Ira said with a playful smirk.
But it's not quite as impressive as the fish.
You haven't tried this tea yet,
Asta told her with a raised eyebrow.
That is true, but now I'm expecting it to be amazing.
It will be.
I shook my head and joined the girls by the fire. Blah followed behind me, and he made his way over to where the rest of the dragons slept near the flames to lay down next to them.
Oh, poor little things.
Cass shook her head.
They've been like this since we woke up. Are they not usually so tired in the morning?
Prana asked with a frown.
No. Usually Blar and Inger are up playing in the courtyard. Ufe joins them sometimes, but a lot of the time he sits with me while I read. He is a contemplative little fellow, isn't he?
Prana smiled and reached down to pet the little red dragon's brow. Ufe let out a contented sigh, but he didn't lift his head. Well, I'll try and take it easy on them today, but that will depend on what we run into when we get to Alfheim.
Yes,
Prana said, and her smile faded into a serious expression.
Where in the realm are we headed? Asta said it's the wealthy part of town. I know of it.
Prana nodded.
The castle has dealings with elves from that part of the realm. Have you ever been there? Not personally, no. Though now I wish I had gone.
I'm sure we can find our way around, I said as I cut up the fish and put the pieces in a large pan.
Of course, you're right.
The beautiful sorceress nodded.
I'm just happy to be along for the quest today.
Oh, we're happy to have you, I told her with a smile. Asta got to work on her tea while I cooked our breakfast. The sun had risen high, so I knew it was officially morning time, but the fish didn't take long to cook, and soon enough the food was ready. I dished up servings of rice, fish, and vegetables for the dragons and set them on the ground. The little lizards all made their way over to their bowls and started to devour their breakfasts, and even Ufe and Svas ate with extra urgency this morning. I passed out bowls to the girls as well, and after Prana took a bite, she let out a little moan and turned to smile at me.
Ah, oh, they were right. This is delicious. I felt the same way the first time Rath cooked for me. He's far better than I expected.
Oh, I hope you're only referring to my cooking.
Yeah, you were just as good as I expected otherwise.
The redhead chuckled and winked at me. Prana smiled at the joke, but then she looked down and ate in silence. Oh, it seemed her jealousy was a little more severe than I'd thought. Once everyone had finished their fish and vegetables, I gave them some spiced apples and peaches to eat while they got ready.
Do you always give out dessert after breakfast?
Not usually. I smiled and looked down at where the little dragons were happily eating their fruit. But I thought everyone could use a little something sweet to get going.
I think you were right.
The sorceress said, as she followed my eyeline to the baby dragons. Do you have some armor to wear today? I asked when I looked over and saw Kaas, Ira, and Asta putting their armor on.
Not necessary.
Prayna shook her head. We'll need to find you something. I frowned. We can swing by the market on the way if we need to.
I have a different kind of armor. I cast a hardening spell on my body, so I'm nearly impenetrable.
Oh, my eyes widened at her words. Well, as long as you're protected.
Of course.
She said, and her cheeks flushed with color before she looked away. I excused myself and went into the cottage to get ready. I quickly found a black tunic I hadn't worn in a while under the bed, and I slipped it on, along with a pair of black pants. I also took a few moments to shave the sides of my head and braid the middle section of my hair before I put on my armor and weapons and made my way out to where the girls stood near the fire. They were all ready to go, and they were the most beautiful warriors I'd ever seen. Kaas wore the dark purple tunic that matched her beautiful violet eyes, and her mane of strawberry blonde curls was half pulled back into a bun, but the bottom half splayed out wildly around her face and shoulders. She wore her steel armor and her greatsword by her side, along with a pair of sandals that wrapped around her shins with a piece of leather. Her plump lips were parted ever so slightly as she looked at her spellbook, but then she saw me, smiled, and put the book into her satchel. Ufe sat by Kaas's feet, and the little dragon seemed far more awake now than he had been earlier. He looked up at me with sparkling purple eyes, and then he cocked his head to the side curiously. I smiled back at the little dragon before I turned my attention to Asta. The gorgeous elf girl had her long white hair pulled back into two long braids, and some small strands framed her delicate features as she looked at me with glowing yellow eyes. She wore the short white tunic Kaas had worn the day before, and it matched her hair beautifully. Her dark armor was tied over her clothes, and her sword hung at her hip. Inga was on her shoulder, and the bright red little dragon was a stark contrast to Asta's dainty white hair and outfit. Ira's long red hair was pulled back into a thick braid, and she wore a short black tunic under her steel armor. Her sandals strapped round her ankles, and her sword was on one hip while her dagger was on the other. Her piercing green eyes regarded me coolly, and a half-smile was on her sweet pink lips. Svas was with her, as usual, but this time the little dragon wasn't curled up around her neck, and instead sat on her shoulder. Svas smiled at me so big her pink eyes closed in the process, and I had to chuckle and shake my head at her excitement. Oh, she was fitting in quite well. Prayna was the last to catch my eye, but she was certainly the most breathtaking. The sorceress had somehow changed into a short, dark brown tunic that complemented her light brown eyes and honey-colored hair. She didn't have any visible armor or weapons, but I knew her hands were her most powerful tools, and I was excited to see what she could do with them. Since she was a master sorceress, she was able to perform many spells without using anything but her own magic. Blah was strewn across her feet, and the sorceress absent-mindedly stroked her foot back and forth against his fat little belly. Prayna's brown eyes caught mine, and a slight color flushed her cheeks before she licked her bottom lip and narrowed her gaze slightly so she could look me up and down. I could sense her attraction, and mine was there as well, but I reminded myself we had other things to focus on, so I clapped my hands together and nodded at my team. All right, is everyone ready?
Ready.
Kaas nodded. Good, I said, and I knelt down next to Blah. Oh, you think you can muster us a portal, buddy? The little blue dragon rolled over to look at me, sighed, stood up, and shook his whole body. Dust flew everywhere, and I instinctively raised my hand over my face to shield my eyes from the onslaught of dirt.
Blah, Blar!
Kaas shouted as she and the rest of the girls lifted their arms to cover their faces as well. The little blue dragon just smiled before he closed his eyes and made a portal appear. Thank you, I said dryly, and he practically snickered as he jumped up to sit on my shoulder. I grabbed the girl's hands, and we all stepped through the portal and into Alfheim. We landed on a nicely paved road, surrounded by white trees with yellow leaves. The sun was high in the sky, and as I looked around, I realized I hadn't seen this area of Alfheim before. Gas, where are we? The sorceress already had the map out, and she tilted it so I could see.
It looks like we're pretty close,
she said as she pointed.
We can't just walk into wherever he was. We need to be careful.
Right.
Cass and I can put an invisibility spell on us.
Oh, yes, good idea.
I know one, but we'll need a few things. Not necessary.
Prana smiled at her.
Just give me your hands and repeat after me. Okay.
Cass took Prana's hands and closed her eyes. Whereas Kaz's magic appeared as red sparkles, and Asta's appeared as silver sparkles, Prana's was the same beautiful yellow color as her hair. The red and yellow magic swirled together, and then encapsulated all of us for a split second before disappearing.
Did it work?
I assure you, it worked.
I smiled at the master sorceress. Her abilities were already coming in handy. Cass was wonderful with her magic, but she was still young and learning. Prana had centuries of experience and training, and she'd reached an incredibly high level of skill that Cass hadn't reached quite yet. I knew the strawberry blonde would get there in her own time, but I also figured it probably helped to have Prana around to show her a thing or two every now and then. Part of me hoped Prana traveling with us would become more of a normal occurrence, but I doubted it. The sorceress had plenty of other duties to tend to with the council.
This way,
Cass said, and she held up the map and walked straight ahead on the road. Inga and Bla flew ahead while we walked, but Ufe rode on Kaz's shoulder, and Svas rode on Ira's. It didn't take long before we reached a huge golden gate to the side of the road. There was a large white brick fence surrounding it, and even from the outside it looked expensive.
Don't tell me this is the place.
Ira frowned.
It looks like it.
Cass nodded.
How do we get through the gate? I'm not sure.
Cass said as she glanced around.
I don't think it's a good idea to try and open it. It's probably locked somehow. Right. And knowing these dealers, they can definitely afford a sorcerer to enchant it. You're right.
Prana nodded.
They probably know the second we removed the lock.
What do you suggest? I asked the sorceress. She was with us for the day, so I figured I might as well use her talents while I could. Prana pursed her lips and thought.
I have a spell that will allow us to walk through the brick wall. That would be amazing.
Cass nodded fervently.
I'll teach you later,
the beautiful blonde assured her, and then she walked over to the wall.
Now everyone, come line up over here. We can only go one by one, otherwise it gets a little messy.
What about the dragons?
Ira asked, and her hand instinctively reached up to pet Svas.
It should be all right for them to stay on your shoulders. Okay, good.
Ira nodded, and I had to smile at the redhead. She'd always seemed so battle-hardened to me, but now that she had a small dragon of her own to care for, she wasn't afraid to show a much softer, caring side. As much as I thought Ira's warband leader attitude was sexy as hell, I had to admit I found her soft side incredibly endearing, too. We all lined up by the wall, and Prana closed her eyes, placed her hand on the brick, and muttered something in the old language.
Give me your hand,
she told Asta, but she kept her other hand placed firmly on the wall. The white-haired elf girl took Prana's hand and allowed the sorceress to guide her through the brick. It was incredible to see her just disappear into the wall, but I knew she'd come out on the other side just fine.
You're next,
Prana told Ira, and the redhead grabbed her hand. Svas curled up against Ira's neck, and I could clearly see her shaking with fear.
It's okay,
the redhead assured her, and she reached her hand up to stroke the small reptile's back. Svas seemed to calm down some, though she didn't move from where she was wrapped tightly around Ira's neck. Prana smiled at the small dragon, and then closed her eyes and led Ira through the wall. The redhead disappeared, just as Asta had, and I was once again astounded at Prana's abilities. Cass and Ufe were next, and the little dragon seemed almost excited, which was odd, because he was usually the most timid. Ufe had a smile on his reptilian lips, and he leaned toward the wall as Cass took Prana's hand and stepped through the stone. I shook my head and laughed before I turned to Bla. "Are you ready?" I asked him, and he nodded and laid his head on my shoulder. He didn't seem to care either way, and I figured traveling through a wall wasn't very exciting for him, since he was able to teleport on his own. I took Prana's hand, and the sorceress smiled at me as a jolt of electricity worked its way from where her flesh touched mine all the way up my arm.
"We'll go together."
"Okay," I nodded. Prana turned toward the wall but kept her hand on it, and then she stepped forward and pulled me along with her. The stone seemed to melt away as we stepped directly into it, and before I knew it, we were on the other side of the wall. "Whoa," I breathed as I looked round. The yard we were in was magnificent. Bright green grass covered the ground, and there were huge fruit trees planted strategically around the area, along with berry bushes, flowers of all shapes, sizes, and colors, and even a small pond with several wooden chairs beside it. A huge fountain sat right outside of the front of the house, though it looked more like a small castle than any home I'd seen before. The entire building was made of the same white stone as the fence, and it was at least 3 stories tall, with balconies and large doors and windows everywhere. I was suddenly extremely glad Prana and Kaz had been able to cast the invisibility spell on us. It would be incredibly difficult to move around this home without being spotted. Though, as I looked round, I didn't see many guards. There were a couple near the front doors, but I didn't see any others. Blas smacked his lips when he saw the fruit trees, but I turned to him and shook my head. The little dragon rolled his eyes, but then a loud clanging sound from the small castle caught his attention, and he immediately focused on the mission once more.
"What was that?"
"I don't know." I shook my head. "But we should go find out." I carefully led the girls over to the front steps of the mansion, but before we could make our way up, the clanging sound rang through the air again, this time followed by male voices.
"I assume you'll be back next week?"
A voice said, and it sounded oddly familiar, but I couldn't place it.
"Same time as always,"
another voice answered, and this voice was familiar as well.
"The king goes through, I tell you."
"Right, right," the effeminate voice laughed. "We'll have more ready for you."
"Next week, then,"
the male said, and a moment later he came into view. I couldn't stop my jaw from popping open at the sight of the man. I knew him. It was the elf from the king's dungeon, who I'd seen when I was in the body of the baby dragon down there. He was pushing a small cart with several cages covered with cloth. I could sense the babies inside, and I knew this scumbag was bringing them directly to the king's dungeon. I glanced down to see there were several carts parked in the driveway, none of which were particularly elaborate. I pursed my lips at their smart planning. These assholes were terrible people, but they weren't completely stupid. They knew a cart that looked like it held royalty or royal goods of any kind would be much more likely to draw attention than one that looked like a peasant's cart.
"Rath, do you know him? You seemed surprised to see him."
"I saw him before, in the Elf King's dungeon."
"We can't let him leave with those babies."
Prana frowned. "Don't worry. We'll follow him and get them out before he can make it back to the king." Prana nodded. And while the dark-haired elf worked on loading the baby dragons into the cart, we made our way around the steps we were hidden behind, so we could head back toward the fence and cut the man off once he made it to the road.
"Oh, Keelan, one more thing!"
the other voice called just as we made it to the edge of the steps. I stopped in my tracks and waited for the other man to make his descent. But once he came into view, I had to close my eyes and open them again to make sure I was seeing correctly. I knew I'd recognized that voice, but it couldn't be. Coming down the steps was the man I'd killed just 2 days before.